I'd just like to share with you, I'm kind of setting you up. This is kind of foundational to where I want to go in the next couple of weeks. I want to talk about staying in your lane. Karen and I, we adopted a saying years ago. We were in a car with our presbyter and his wife, and she would kindly remind him over and over again that the lines are your friends. So she was talking about the lines on the road. And so we kind of adopted that through the years. Karen likes potholes, but I kind of like to gawk, and I kind of go over, and those rumble strips kind of help me stay on track. But Karen will kindly remind me sometimes, the lines are your friends. And so as we go through this, we're going to be kind of presenting that idea here today, that God has created a line, a lane for you to live in, to work in, to minister into, and he wants you to stay in that lane. And so we'll kind of share some of those thoughts as we move on here. Some of the responses I've had with the fire company have been on Interstate 80. And one of the biggest dangers that people face on the interstate, those that are maybe doing construction, those who are emergency workers, are the other drivers that are driving down the highway. How many know that Pennsylvania has a law that you need to either get into the other lane away from what's going on or slow down? But how many know that that's not always the case? And we're out there standing beside vehicles and cars are whipping by us like nothing. So a lot of accidents happen because of people not getting into the right lane and staying in the right lane. And so with that idea in mind here, I want to kind of think of some spiritual things here that God has placed some principles and laws to help guide our lives and direct us as the church of Jesus Christ. And if we do that, we will prevent a lot of casualties in our life. How many know that we ask for a lot of what we get in life? We are the creator of our problems sometimes. And I want to talk about today that we don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. We want to be in the lane that God has created, because in that lane, when we're walking according to his will for our lives, how many know that it's a safer place to be? Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to lay a foundation here with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and just kind of emphasize a few things as I'm going down. And then next week, we're going to jump back to Genesis, and we're going to start from some stories there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us. I want you to realize that we have been gifted by the person of Jesus Christ. We, as God created us, he has built within you a personality, gifts and talents, and even a calling is built within us. He says there, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. How many know sometimes today we don't have wooden stone idols that we worship, but there are a lot of idols that we worship in our world today. So I want you to know, to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. How many know you have a spiritual gift? You may not know what it is, but you have been given a spiritual gift as a means of helping the entire church. We're going to jump to verse 11. It is this one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Verse 14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Go figure, huh? Verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Let me just say, this is not a list of an importance that Paul is saying here, but he is just kind of throwing that out. And he begins by asking rhetorical questions in verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? And of course, the answer is, of course not. The answer is no. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And so there is a discussion about what are the most helpful gifts. How about if we kind of define it here today, a helpful gift is the one that's needed at the time. Isn't that a good definition? So God wants to use you and your abilities and your gifts to use it for his glory and for his kingdom. So we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can also read in Romans chapter 12, that he warns us about staying in our lane. That yes, we are individuals, but we are part of the whole. And that we are created to operate in the whole in a certain way. And when we get out of that, we find ourselves in danger. We endanger our lives. We cause problems, not only for ourselves, but we can cause problems for the church. How many know? We don't need three noses, right? We don't need 16 feet, right? All these things. So think about it today. We all have a place in the body of Christ. And it says here, he's placed us where he needs us to be. So my points today are basically answering the question, what happens when we don't see the lines as our friends? What happens when we get out of our lane? And so I want to answer that. As I said, this is foundational to where I want to go because we're going to look at three people's lives that have affected our world today because they did not stay in the lane that God created for them to walk in. So what happens when we don't see the lines as our friends? Number one, we give in to temptation. The church is not a place for competition. It's not a place for power plays. It's not a place for jealousy to take place. You know, in the church, we're always looking at what other people are doing. We're always comparing. We're always wishing maybe we could be part of something else that God has not created us or called us to be. We are called to be in a place of unity. We are called to be a team. We are to be the human body, each doing what God has created us to do. So what we have found in the church is a bunch of nobodies trying to be somebodies. They can't be anybody, they can't be somebody in their workplace, they can't be somewhere in their community, they can't be in their family. So what do? They come into the church and try to be a somebody. Try to fit into a place that they're not called to be. Ouch, that hurts, right? But we have all seen it at times. People that do not belong in the positions that they are in. I watch shows like, I don't watch a lot of reality shows. The only show that I tune in and off and on is America's Got Talent. You can listen to The Voice, Survivor, Dancing with the Stars. So we kind of see a bunch of nobodies trying to be somebody. And when they interview them, they say, why do you want to win? Because I want a show in Las Vegas. I want to be a millionaire. I want people to come and watch me. You know, sometimes that takes place in the church as well. And we really need to guard against that kind of attitude. It is not about us. It is about Jesus Christ. And it is about his kingdom. So we need to guard against that. Philippians 2 covers that and says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. It means be humble. We are called to be servants, right? And if you want to rise above that, let God exalt you. If we humble ourselves, what do you say? I will exalt you. Let God do the calling. Let God exalt you. So let's guard against the temptation of being something that we are not called to be. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Amen. Since being married, I have changed lanes many, many times. Poor Karen. She's been on a ride of her life. And it took me 6 to 7 years to kind of figure out what lane I was supposed to be in. And some of it wasn't due to my decisions. When you go work for a pastor, guess what? They have a job description. And sometimes they don't tell you that job description ahead of time until you get there, and then you find out all the things you're called to do. And you find out for sure they're not the things that you're called to do. So some of it has been placed upon me. Some I have chosen. And Karen always came up with this philosophy. We've been in some very difficult places. And she would kind of remind me that we are to bloom where we're planted. And what I have found out from that is that Karen is not God. Karen is not God. Because if I'm not in the right lane, in which I have found myself through some years of ministry, I don't want to be in that lane. I want to be in the lane that God has made specifically for me. And it's not good to be in the wrong lane. It's not good for the church. It's not good for you to be in the wrong lane. So I encourage you today, find the lane that God has for you, and please stay in that lane. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, but godliness, Paul is writing to Timothy, and says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Yes, we need to achieve godliness no matter what lane we're in. But contentment is very important. In your walk with God, in ministry to God and to people, it is important that you are content. If you're not, you're always going to be looking somewhere else. You're going to be tempted to fit in a slot that you were not created to fit in. And so you need to be very careful. Yes, be godly, but also find out what it is that God has for you. And I guarantee you, your life will be more pleasant for you. And trust me, it'll be more pleasant for those around you, especially your wife. So knowing we're in the right lane, in the right place, knowing God's will, knowing yourself, keeps us from the temptation of changing lanes. It's important, very important. So, what happens when people don't see the lines as our friends? We give in to temptation to be out of place in the wrong lane. The wrong place at the wrong time. And secondly, when we don't see the lines as our friends, we have the capacity to affect the future negatively or positively. Of course, if we're in the right place at the right time, hey, God's going to pour out his blessing. God's going to bless you, and you're going to prosper. But if you're not, some things may happen. I want to give you a revelation here today that might shock you. God is not surprised at where you're at today. He is not surprised by the decisions you make. You never surprise God. There is just something about God that we understand is that God is omniscient, right? Meaning God knows everything. So where you're at today is no surprise. It may be a surprise to you, but it is no surprise to God. So when we mix God's knowledge of who we are with our free choice, man, that kind of stirs some things up. And that kind of knocks a lot of people's theology kind of crossways. But let me realize that even though we choose to make decisions, God knew where we would be. I've made a lot of, I think, bad decisions in my life. I made a lot of good decisions in my life. But yet God knew where I would be today. It didn't take him by surprise. God's not up there scratching his head saying, uh-oh, what's he going to do now? What's he going to do now? What are we going to do about it? How can we fix this? That's not God. God already knew. It's already built into the plan that God has already prepared for our lives. See, this is where some of these verses apply. He doesn't give us more than what we can handle because he knows the end result. He knows exactly what we can handle in life. All things work out for good, right? We always say that to people that are going through problems because we never apply that to ourselves when we're in the midst of a problem. All things work out for good for those who, what? Love him, and the second part's just as important, and called according to his purpose. So if we're out of line with what God's purpose is for our life, if we're out of the lane we should be in, guess what? Things aren't going to be so rosy. And they may not just work out. No matter how long you pray or how hard you pray. And it's quiet in here. We can sabotage our lives by being in the wrong lane. But guess what? God knew where you're going to be. I mean, you can read the Bible. And none of what took place surprised God. It may surprise us, but it never surprised God. Was God surprised that Adam and Eve would decide to sin and rebel? It didn't. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus was what? Slain before the foundation of the earth. The plan of redemption was already in place before he placed them in a garden. Isn't that amazing? We look at Moses. You know, Moses was called to deliver the Jews from Egypt, Israel. And what did he do? He killed an Egyptian. And we don't think much of that, but if you go to Acts chapter 7, verse 25, and you hear Stephen making his defense before the Sanhedrin, you see that he thought that they understood that he was going to be their deliverer. He got out of his lane. He kind of preempted God. And so 40 years later, yes, he does come back and deliver Israel. But he got out of the wrong lane. Did it take God surprise? No. God knew where he was in the desert when he called him. God knew. We look at the ministries of Peter and Paul. Peter went to the Jews. He didn't fare so well with the Gentiles. Paul had to rebuke him. But we see that Paul, he was called to the Gentiles, but he did go to the Jews. But every time he went to the Jews, he got in hot water. So he said, finally, he understood his calling and said, I'm going to the Gentiles. He fulfilled his call. He got in the right lane. And of course, we know Jesus was in the right lane the whole way. Amen. Nothing deterred Jesus. Nothing sidetracked him. He stayed in the lane. And we're here today because he did. Amen. So we have the capacity to affect the future. We do. But some of us like to take the scenic route. Some of us like to take the hard way. Not the easy way. Could you imagine life if we would just obey God when he speaks to us and leads us and we just do it right away? Man, life would be a lot better. A lot easier. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times we look in our lives and say, what if? We look back on our lives and say, what if I really got serious with God 20 years ago? What if I would have made this decision to do this for God? We don't play with the what-ifs. God doesn't even play with the what-ifs. Because God knows where you're at today. He's not worried about what you could have been or should have been back there. But he took an account. He knows the beginning from the end. And he knew where you would be today. And he's saying, let's just start today. There is therefore what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The devil will have us say, what if? What if? What if? And live in the past with regrets. But Jesus says, hey, let's just start new, fresh, right here, today. Let's get in the right lane and let's move on. Amen. That's grace. Amen. That's love. And we sing about that today. So, when we do not see the lines as our friends, sometimes we have to live with the consequences. As I said, it's beneficial to stay in our lane. And the last snow, we were called out onto the interstate to an accident. And what had happened was a SUV was following, with six people in it, were following a truck, and they decided to stop following the truck in the fast lane and go to the slow lane. But little did they know there was a semi in the slow lane going slow. And guess what? They had an accident. By the grace of God, they weren't really that hurt. Praise God. Car totaled, but by the grace of God. In life, it is okay to change lanes. We're not stuck on a track. We're not stuck. But if we go with the leading of God and with His permission, it's okay to change lanes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, For there is a what? Season. There is a time for everything under heaven. We are not the same people we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We're not even the same people we were a year ago. And so there are seasons. And it is okay to change lanes when you know it's God that's leading you to do that. Or you have His permission to do that. People's lives go awry when they get in the wrong lane. Many people are getting into relationships that are very toxic. Things that will destroy their lives. Our young people are online. They're having relationships, these virtual friendships with people that are destroying their lives. They're shaping their lives around what other people think. They're toxic. In my first pastorate, I met a woman who an elderly lady, who kind of shared with me and opened up and said, I married the wrong man. They had kids, they had grandkids at that time, but she was a believer, he was not. Toxic relationship. She got in the wrong lane. She made the wrong choice. And I'll tell you what, that's kind of a prison sentence when you marry the wrong person. I know God can do miracles. God can. I don't know if He's saved today or not. I pray He is. And I pray the end is better than the beginning. We look at the things that we're pressured into in our culture today. Things that we got out of our lane, we knew we shouldn't have done, but we did anyway. And for some of us, when we got out of that lane, what we do, we created a stumbling block in our life. The door was open to an area of our life now that we still have to battle to the end because we opened the door to temptation. We got out of the lane that God had created for us. I've watched people choose careers, promotions, more money, transfers. And all they did was they changed out of the lane that God called them, and they got off the freeway altogether, a lot of them. Stay in your lane. You know, in the church, there is a lot of misuse, abuse, and non-use, if I may say so, in the church, of people that are not in the right lane. Some of them are on the highway. We have to live with consequences. God's grace is great. God forgives. You know, the more we sin, what? The more His grace abounds in our life. God forgives. God gives grace. But let me tell you, it doesn't always change the consequences. Sometimes there's consequences to the choices that we make. They don't go away. God can take the pain of those things away. He can change those things from a curse to a blessing into our lives. But there are some consequences sometimes that we've got to deal with the rest of our lives. Sometimes our wrong choices can prevent us from being used in particular ministries, in particular areas that God would have loved to be known. It didn't take them by surprise. I've seen people called to the ministry that aren't even in church today. We need to be careful that we stay in the lane that God has created for us. We can make things difficult for ourselves. We can make ourselves things difficult for others by the consequences of our actions and our decisions. So I'm just laying a foundation here today. Please stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. We're going to look at three people's lives, as I said earlier. We're going to look at Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. And how many know that their decisions changed the world, have shaped the world that we live in today? And there are three different people that looked at this situation from different perspectives, and we're going to kind of bring that out a little bit. We're going to look at their personalities, the decisions they made, and how what the consequences were. Because all of us are in the same boat. We're faced with situations that we've got to make some decisions on. And God's saying we need to make those decisions within the lane that He has created for us. And when we step out, there may be consequences that not only affect us, but our families, our communities, and maybe even the world. I don't know. They got out of their lane. The lines were not their friends. So I want to encourage you, the lines are your friends. Go down that lane, stay straight. Father, we just close this service out today, just laying a foundation for what we're going to get into. And Lord, I believe as we look at these three individuals, Lord, we're going to see some of our lives in their lives. That, Lord, the Bible is there to give us an example. It's there to teach us. It's there to guide us. And maybe even be a warning for us not to go down that path. Because we see the results in the lives of these people. And many of these people were used mightily of you. Abraham was considered a friend of God. Yet we look at his life, Lord, and there are some blemishes. There are some messes that were made because of some of his decisions. Because he stepped out of the lane. And today, Lord, we come before you today, and some of us, in all honesty, would say, Lord, there are times that we have stepped out of our lane. And you may be here this morning, and you may be in the wrong lane today, and you need to get back to the lane that God has designated for you to live in, to minister into. So, Father, I pray today that you will take us where we're at. Lord, we come to you and we say, Lord, speak to us. That you will allow your Holy Spirit to convict us. If we're not in the right place, Lord, please help us to get in the right lane. Lord, if we're here today and we have pulled off the highway altogether and we're just kind of watching it all happen, I pray, Lord, that you will draw people back onto the highway and into a lane, Lord. Because, Lord, I believe as long as we have breath, there is a purpose for us to fulfill. There is a plan that you have for us. I ask today, Lord, give us a new start this morning. I ask where you're at this morning, make an altar where you're at. If you just need to do business with him this morning, just, Lord, we want to start afresh. We want to start anew. It's not a surprise where we're at here this morning. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. You know where we're at. Help us to get to the place, Lord, and into the lane where, Lord, you can use us so that we can experience godliness with contentment. That we can experience not just life, but abundant life. Lord, I pray today that you will help us to not live under condemnation. That today could be a new start for individuals this morning. Let it be a new start. And for those that are in the right lane, going the right direction, I pray that you will encourage them, that you empower them, that you will bless them for being faithful. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as you're going home, you probably won't see any lines. So be very careful. Drive slow. And if we could, I know we have some people here that could probably use some assistance cleaning their vehicles off, getting them there, maybe even... I was warned, is Wilma here somewhere? I was told to, she didn't know it was that bad, so maybe if we can make sure she gets home safely, right? We want to take care of our own on this day, right? So, we do want to remind you, there is a viewing today, unfortunately, at 1 to 3 and 2 to 4, 6 to 8. Okay, Weaver, McIntyre, they're in Knox. Tomorrow is the funeral at 11, okay? So just to kind of keep them in prayer. Lousy weather for this. It's a lousy time period, right? Death is never easy. So keep them in your prayers, in these, especially these next couple days. So I don't have anything else. So just be careful, please, going home. All right? God bless you. Tuesday night, we don't know what's going to be up for Tuesday night. So we will get the word out.